Hi, everyone. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I'm Pastor Sean, one of the pastors here at Symphony, and we're so glad that you're joining us for worship today. Especially want to welcome those of you who are joining us for the first time. I hope you all had a great Christmas season. At this time, we're going to take a minute to greet those that we're worshiping with. Many of us here are gathered on Zoom, and so you can click the link, that Zoom link in the important link section. And once you're in there, let's turn on our cameras, let's greet one another, say Merry Christmas again to one another. And so let's do that right now. Let's take a minute now to bless one another. So today is the last Sunday of 2020, which means that 2020 is almost over. Now this year, 2020, will go down in history as one of the most eventful, most tumultuous years in human history. We faced a global pandemic, shelter in place, quarantines, shutdowns, all sorts of disruptions. Words like a COVID wedding or Zoom, masks, that's like just a normal part of our lives now. And on top of that, in this nation, we faced serious issues of racial injustice, especially with the terrible death of George Floyd and too many others. And to top it off, this year we had this small little thing called the presidential election. And so to all of that, I think most people look forward to the end of 2020. If you look at social media, you can find a ton of really funny memes about celebrating the end of this year. People are ready to just move on, to just with the hope that 2020 will be better. And while it's good to move on, right? It's good to move on to the next year. At this time of year, I think it's important for us to actually pause, to reflect, and think about the year that passed. And so as this is our last Sunday of the year, I wanted to take some time today to encourage us to do that, to pause, reflect, and process all that's happened in 2020, and then look forward to the new year. And so we have a passage today, and our passage is Ezra chapter 3. I'm going to read from verses 8 through 13. Now in the second year after their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jehozadak, made a beginning, together with the rest of their kinsmen, the priests and the Levites, and all who had come to Jerusalem from the captivity. They appointed Levites from 20 years old and upward to supervise the work of the house of the Lord. And Jeshua with his sons and his brothers, and Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together supervised the workmen in the house of God, along with the sons of Henadad and the Levites, their sons and brothers. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests and their vestments came forward with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the directions of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and the heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first house, wept with a loud voice when they saw the foundation of this house being laid, though many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the joyful shout from the sound of the people's weeping. For the people shouted with a great shout, and the sound was heard far away. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for this time to worship, and as hard as it may be, we thank you for this past year. And we pray that as we look forward to 2021, we pray that we can move forward in hope, in knowing your goodness and your love to us, Help us, God. Help us to process and help us to move forward knowing the hope and the joy that we have in you. So bless us here. Speak through your word to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this book of Ezra, right, it tells us about a unique part in Israel's history. This is after God's people returned to the promised land after being in exile. And in this book, Ezra, and also the book after Nehemiah, it's a picture of rebuilding. Rebuilding their homes, rebuilding their lives, rebuilding their identity as a people, as followers of God even. They had been in exile for a long time, and now here they're allowed to return home to rebuild. And a huge part of rebuilding their lives as a whole people is rebuilding the temple. The temple was their primary, the most important place of worship of God. And in a sense, you could say rebuilding this temple was more than just rebuilding a building. It's rebuilding their relationship with God himself. And so we're told in the passage here that this is the second year of their return to the promised land. So they had about a year to establish themselves, rebuild their homes, and just get situated. And here they are, rebuilding the temple. Now, in this passage, they don't rebuild the whole temple. It's the foundation of the temple. It would take some time for them to rebuild the whole temple. But nonetheless, this is an important start, a big step, and it was worth celebrating. And so in this passage, they rebuild the temple foundation. And after it's finished, they bring out priests, Levites, all these people, and they lead the people in worship. It says they're praising and giving thanks to God, and they shout for joy, praising God in this time. And I just imagine the scene here in Ezra. It was probably this beautiful and uplifting scene. They're worshiping as a people, all together, maybe for the first time after coming back into the promised land. It's been a generation or so since they've been able to do this together here. So there's this joy of rebuilding the temple, rebuilding the relationship with God, and there's this hope of what is still yet to come. I just imagine this scene being like what it would be like for us to gather and worship again after this COVID era or season, right? When all of us are able to come together again to worship in person, just think of how joyful that'll be. Like, no more masks, no more shields, no worries about particles or viruses, hand sanitizer. We just come together and worship. Think of how joyful that would be. Take that, multiply it by 1,000. And I think that's the kind of joy that's in this scene in Ezra. But at the end of this passage, something kind of surprising happens. Something different happens. There's a shift in tone. There's these shouts of joy and worship and praising God, laying the foundation of the temple. It's this great thing. But then we're told that many people start weeping. And it's not like happy crying. It's not tears of joy kind of thing. These people are crying and weeping loudly, it seems, with sadness, with regret. And so we have this very strange scene, a surprising scene, this huge crowd of people here for the dedication of this temple foundation, a celebration, and this loud noise, a great shout, mixed with loud weeping. And we're told in verse 13 that it's so mixed together that they couldn't distinguish the sound. People watching this couldn't tell, are people weeping or are people shouting for joy? It was so mixed together. Now, what's going on here? Why did this happen like this here? There's rejoicing mixed with weeping. It doesn't seem to make sense. Why are some people so happy and excited while some people are grieving and sad? Well, we see this mix of emotions. We see these different reactions because I think it was just necessary. It was necessary for these people to both rejoice and weep, especially as they look back upon their lives. This was a momentous occasion, an important occasion, and God's people here needed to do both things. They needed to worship, and they needed to rejoice while they needed to grieve and weep as well. Now, we're told in this passage that it is the old men who are weeping. And it says in verse 12 that these old men had seen the first house. And when they saw the foundation of this house, of this temple being laid, right, that's when they were starting to weep with a loud voice. So these old men are weeping because when they saw this house, this temple foundation being laid, it brought up these feelings of sadness, regret maybe, because they had seen the previous house, the old house, the temple. This is the temple that Solomon built. Now that temple was probably a glorious sight. This ornate and beautiful temple made of gold and cedar, a place of gathering, of worship and joy. And here they are now in Ezra, and they're celebrating the laying down of a foundation. A foundation is basically just a slab of rock, right? There's nothing to really like look at there. It's nothing in comparison to the former glory that they knew of. But this sadness, this weeping that they had, it's not because of architecture. It's not because of construction. You're like, oh, that house was great and this is just a slab of rock. This weeping was about their failure as a people. You see, these old men, they saw this humble foundation and they remembered how and why they as a people had been humbled. Now, I mentioned before that at this point in Israel's history, they had come back into the promised land from exile. Well, it's important to remember the arc of Israel here. They had, well, many generations ago, many like centuries ago, God had brought them out of Egypt into this promised land. But over the years, Israel kept on straying from God. They kept on sinning, turning away from God, turning towards idols. They were trusting in themselves. And despite many warnings and many, many chances from God, because of their sin, their disobedience, their pride, God had brought judgment upon his people and he sent them into exile. And as they were sent into exile, they lost so much. They pretty much lost everything. That beautiful temple, that first house, it was destroyed. And beyond that, they had lost their homes, they lost their homeland, they lost much of their identity, they lost family, friends as well. And all of this happened because of their failure as a people to follow God. And so when they come to this scene in Ezra, there was a need to weep. And it wasn't because this temple was inferior, it wasn't that it didn't look good enough, but when they were coming to this point, they were brought to this point because they had to grieve those losses as they remembered them, that regret, that sin, all of those failures as a people, they had to grieve and mourn those things. There was a need for them to emotionally and to spiritually process their past. Now, at the same time, though, at the scene in Ezra, remember, people are rejoicing. So people are coming to this exact same moment. They're looking at this exact same slab of rock in front of them, and they're celebrating. They're excited. They're looking upon this moment, looking upon even the past, and they're celebrating. Now, in a moment like this, it may feel inappropriate to be celebrating. I'm sure some of us have been in a situation before where we're really excited or we're really happy about something. We want to jump up and down for joy, and then we see our friend over there who's saddened by something, and you're like, oh, this is not appropriate for me to be rejoicing here. But in this moment, this mix of emotions was very, very appropriate. It was important even for the people to be rejoicing at this moment. Why? Why should they be rejoicing here? Because God was doing something amazing. Yes, they had failed. Right? They had been in exile. They had failed as a people. They had lost so much. But look at them now. They're back. They're back in the homeland. They're in the midst of rebuilding their temple, rebuilding their identity as a people, rebuilding their relationship with God himself. The people here are rejoicing, and they had to rejoice because they're recognizing the faithfulness of God to them. If we look at verse 11 again, it says that they're singing, they're praising, giving thanks to God, and they say, "For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever towards Israel," towards us. They had to rejoice here because they were recognizing that God was good to them, that God's love was enduring for them, and they had this second chance to come to rebuild and come back to God. They had to rejoice because God was continuing to work in them. God was for them here. When I think about this passage, when I think about this scene in Ezra, I don't think there's a better passage in the Bible that describes where we are as God's people here at the end of 2020. You know, at the end of every year, we have this chance to pause and to reflect upon the past year. Now, we can do this at any time, of course, right? There's nothing special about January 1st, but the thing that is special is that we can do this together. And especially this year, at the end of 2020, I think it's so important that we pause and we reflect and we look back on this incredibly chaotic and eventful year. And when we look back on 2020, I think there's this need for us to have this moment where we pause and we look back upon the hard things while also pausing to rejoice and celebrate God's faithfulness to us. Now, 2020 was a hard year for all of us in some way. We all experienced disruption, this chaos, or loss in some way. And it's important for us to pause and reflect and mourn even some of those things. Some of us here experienced significant loss, whether it was the loss of a loved one or the loss of a job. And these are things we have to actually pause and reflect and even grieve upon. But even if what you experienced wasn't that serious, it doesn't mean that there isn't a need to process and grieve even that. Now, it might feel silly to, like in the light of a global pandemic and racial injustice, it feels silly to lament that you didn't have a real graduation ceremony or the wedding you wanted or you didn't even have the birthday party that you're looking forward to. But you know, if something was hard for you, if something was disappointing for you, it's okay to grieve that. It's necessary to grieve that and to process that and bring that before God. If something was hard for you, if there were aspects of 2020 that were disappointing to you, don't just bury it and move on to 2021. It's important to pause, reflect, and bring that before God. And on top of loss or disappointment, I think many of us may look back on this past year with some regret. You know, this entire world was put on pause because of a pandemic, and a lot of us had a lot of free time. And what did we do with that time? Many of us, we binge-watched Netflix to the point of just emptiness and couldn't even find anything new to watch. Or we drowned out all feelings of anxiety with video games. I think for many of us, when we look back on this past year, there's some regret about how we spent our time, or maybe about the apathy that developed in our own hearts. And maybe, like some of the Israelites in this passage, we look back upon this year and there's regret about our relationship with God even. Maybe we didn't spend time with Jesus or we strayed from God. These are things that we need to process and we need to grieve. It's important for us to pause and look back and understand those things that did not go well and even recognize our own sin and failures. But remember again, at the scene in Ezra, there are people weeping and mourning while there are people who are shouting for joy as well, celebrating what God had done. And like them, while we grieve and we mourn the past, the things that did not go well, we can and we should also look back on 2020 and see the goodness and the faithfulness of our God. Remember again, verse 11, as they just declare the goodness of God, his steadfast love endures forever towards us. This is what we need to remember as well. And for those Israelites, yes, going into exile was hard. Being in exile was hard. Coming out of exile, coming back to this promised land, it came with its own set of challenges as well. But what they were recognizing, what they were celebrating at this time, was God's goodness, God's steadfast love for them, God's faithfulness through all of it. They looked back on their 2020, if you will, and they celebrated God's faithfulness and goodness to them. And like them, while we mourn our losses and grieve our own sins and failures, we recognize the truth that God is good, God has been good, and that his steadfast love endured for us and will continue to endure for us forever as well. And so we should look back on this past year and celebrate all that God has done, how he moved in us. Now, for some of us, there are great moments, like you got married or engaged. We have a lot of engagements at our church now. You got a new job maybe, or you graduated. These are good things, great moments that happen, and we should remind ourselves of God's goodness. We should celebrate those things. But maybe for some of us, in spite of the chaos, or maybe as a result of the chaos of this past year, You grew in maturity, or you grew in your relationship with Jesus, or you persevered at least in your walk with God. For me personally, before this pandemic hit, I had not been very intentional, if at all intentional, about my friendships, about relationships, close friends, of maintaining those relationships with some of my friends. And there was this part of me that kept telling myself that I should do that, but also this part of me that kept telling myself, I'm fine. But when the pandemic shut like everything down, and much of my usual life and ministry things were in a sense taken away, in the midst of all that, I realized something that I did not want to admit to myself for a long time. I didn't want to admit that I was lonely. Now, yes, I have a wonderful wife and I have kids, but like all of you, there is still a need for friendships, for peers, for people who encourage me, walk with me, and point me to Jesus. I didn't really have that pre-COVID, and that became so apparent in the midst of sheltering in place, of quarantining, of when things were shut down. And now I know that doesn't sound like very good news, but I believe, and actually I know, this was God's goodness and his steadfast love pursuing me. Because through this shutdown time, God showed me my heart, he showed me my loneliness, my pride even, and he showed me how I needed to invest into those relationships. And so finally, a few months into the pandemic, I reached out to some friends of mine that I had not been keeping in touch with for the past few years, and we just started talking pretty much weekly, and we would share, talk about our lives, talk about our struggles, pray for one another. And man, it's been so, so good. God has blessed me with these friends of mine and spending this intentional time with them. And it wasn't just like a cure for loneliness. It was pointing me to God's love for me. I believe, I know this was God's goodness and his steadfast love pursuing me in this COVID season. I'm not sure I would have learned these lessons if it wasn't for all of these disruptions. And I believe that God's goodness, his steadfast love, in some way has been pursuing all of you in this season as well. You know, throughout this past year, it might be hard to recognize what God has been doing, but I believe that God has been doing a good work in all of our lives. And I'm just reminded of the bridge of that song, Waymaker, where it says that even if we don't feel it, he is working. If we don't see it, God is working. He never stops working in us. And that's just the truth for all of our lives here. The fact that you are attending church virtually after 9 months of a pandemic, whether this is your first time or your like 50th time, this is a testament to God working in your life right now even. And even if you struggle to spend time with Jesus, even if you've had some apathy towards God, towards Jesus, you should rejoice and celebrate that even right now, God is working. We should celebrate that Jesus loves us so much and that he wants to keep on showing his steadfast love to all of us. This past year has been a crazy year for all of us. And as I said, it's important to grieve and to mourn our losses and failures, but I believe and I hope that we can all see that God has been good and that his steadfast love has endured for all of us through it. And I want us to be able to celebrate. I hope we can celebrate his goodness and love for us. And so it's been a while since we've done this, but at this time, I want us to take a moment or two and to stop and to reflect on this past year. And so I just want us to just process a little bit. Think about what was hard. What were some of the losses maybe, or the sins, or the struggles that maybe you haven't actually grieved yet? Things that you need to process and bring before Jesus. In the midst of this, let's reflect. Ask yourselves, how have I experienced the goodness, the steadfast love of Jesus in this year? So we can take a moment and pause and reflect on our own, or we can share briefly with someone that we're next to right now. So let's take a moment or two and do that together. Thank you. hope that was a good couple of moments to pause and reflect on this past year, but that's obviously not enough time. I definitely want to encourage you to devote more time this week especially to process, to pray, to journal maybe, talk with some other people about this past year. And you know, it's really important for us, especially at this time of year, the end of a year, to pause and process and reflect like this. It's good for your emotional health, actually, to process and reconcile things from the past year. But we don't reflect and process just for the sake of doing it. There's a purpose for this. And the purpose for us to stop and reflect like this is that it's through this pausing, it's through this reflection on the past that we can understand how to move forward and look ahead at the coming year. In the Jewish culture, there's this holiday called Rosh Hashanah, which I'm sure many of us have at least heard of. Now, Rosh Hashanah is the celebration of a new year in the Jewish culture, and the celebration is a lot with what we would expect, right? They worship together in the synagogue, eat meals together, just like any culture might celebrate a new year. But traditionally, the celebration of Rosh Hashanah is preceded by an entire month of preparation. And the custom for the Jewish people is that they prepare for the new year by spending that whole month in a period of repentance, reflection, and self-examination. And again, it's not just for the sake of doing it, but they do this so that they could think about the coming year. Think about how the next year can be a good year or a better year, how they can grow and change. So before, in this Jewish culture of Rosh Hashanah, before they think about moving forward, they devote this month, they devote this time to look back. Now, much of the public sentiment, again, of 2020 is just good riddance and let's move on, right? Because people are looking forward to 2021 because they're just hoping it'll be better, because how could it be worse than 2020? But we should not waste this time and waste the lessons and the reflections of the past year. We need to pause. We need to reflect on this past year so that we can grow and we can strive for a new year, a good new year. For the Israelites in Ezra 3 here, there's this recognition of the difficulties and the failures of the past, but also God's faithfulness in the past. And as they process this, as they recognize this, as a people, they were looking ahead with hope, trusting the promises of God's goodness and love. And like those Israelites, as we recognize the good and the bad of 2020, we also should strive to look forward to 2021 with the hope, like with hope and trusting God's faithfulness and love to us. For the Israelites, this was a time of rebuilding and renewing their relationship with God. And for us as well, we have this opportunity to rebuild, to renew our hearts and draw near to God again. I think one of the most important things we can do as we reflect upon this past year, as we understand where we've been, as we've understood the successes or the failures of the past year, the important question we need to ask ourselves is, as we look ahead at 2021, how can we rebuild, renew our walks with God? How can we rebuild, renew, grow in our relationship with Jesus in the coming year? As we think back upon this past year and what went well and what didn't go well, we look forward then and we ask ourselves, what are some steps that we can take to have a deeper relationship with God? You know, when we reflect upon the past year again, there's lamenting maybe, grieving, right? We lament that we failed to follow Jesus in many different ways. But there's this good news. And the good news is that we have a second chance. Maybe it's the third chance, fifth chance, thousandth chance to draw near to God again, to live in his goodness and love. And as we keep on reflecting, we understand the ways that we've fallen short, some of our weaknesses where we need help. And as we understand that then, we can think about, how can I rebuild? How can I start over again? And as many people do at this time of year, we can make resolutions then. We can resolve to rebuild our relationships, our walks with Jesus in this coming year. And so again, I want to give us a moment or two to pause and reflect. And this time, let's start asking questions of ourselves. In light of our successes or failures of 2020, How can I resolve to grow in my walk with God in this coming year? What are some steps that we can take to draw near to him in 2021? So again, we can pause, reflect on our own, or we can maybe share briefly with someone who is next to us right now. Let's take a couple moments and do that. Again, that was just a short amount of time, so I want to encourage you all to keep on praying and reflecting on this past year, and just take some time this week to think about how we want to grow in the coming year as well. And like I mentioned before, we don't just reflect for the sake of reflection. As we continue to pause and reflect, it's important that we follow through. As we learn and learn from our past, we should now take practical steps to rebuild our relationships, our walks with Jesus. You know, this rebuilding of the temple foundation in Ezra, it wasn't just a cultural moment. It wasn't just a uniting movement of the Israelites. It was a big first step in renewing their relationship, rebuilding their relationship with God. What Israel had with God before was a broken relationship. Again, they had failed to follow God, failed to listen to him, failed to stay faithful to him. But here they were, taking a huge step to renew and to rebuild, repair that relationship. And for many of us, I think this is what we need to do with God as well. You know, if you have a broken relationship with someone, whether it's because of conflict or falling out, you restore that relationship through regular and intentional quality time together. There's no like quick fix to a broken relationship. You can't just have like one heart-to-heart, 1 3-hour conversation, and then everything's all better, everything's restored. To rebuild a broken relationship, we need to have that regular, intentional time with that other person. For us then in 2021, I want to encourage all of us to set goals for growing, renewing, rebuilding our relationship with Jesus. And we do that through regular and intentional quality time with Jesus. Now, we'll talk more about this, some of these things, in our next sermon series, but with the new year approaching, I want to encourage us anyways. Let's rebuild, let's renew our relationship with God with regular and intentional quality time with Jesus. And these are things that I know a lot of us know. It's spending time in the Word, time in prayer, time in community. But we don't do it just for the sake of checking something off of a box, right? We don't just read the Bible for the sake of doing it. We do it to draw closer to Jesus. We don't just pray just to say that we prayed, but we do it to have this intentional time listening and speaking with God. And with communion as well, we don't do it just because we should, but we should do these things because we want to experience more of the goodness of God. And so especially if you've struggled in making these kind of things a priority in 2020, let's strive to rebuild in 2021. Let's set real goals for growth and rebuilding. Let's resolve to make 2021 a year where we experience the goodness and the steadfast love of God. And like the Israelites, let's do this together as a church, as one body. Let's resolve to be able to worship together, rejoice together, to weep together, and to grow together. You know, I think one of the biggest reasons that 2020 was hard for us spiritually was that we were unable to gather together. But I don't think the only lesson we should learn from 2020 is that we need to gather together physically in order to grow. I think the more important lesson is this, is that we have to make community, friendship, accountability, commitment to one another, we have to make that a priority. We have to be much, much more intentional about seeking out fellowship, community, relationships with one another. We have to resolve, we have to fight through our apathy or our pride and seek to be a community, not just by association, but actually be in relationship with one another. Be with people that will walk with us, encourage us to see God's goodness and steadfast love in our lives. I needed to do that with my friends, and I think a lot of us here, we need to take those steps. We need to resolve to draw closer to God by drawing closer with one another. For many of us, I think, rebuilding our relationship with God, it's going to have to start with rebuilding our relationship with the body of Christ. But whatever it is, let's take real, tangible steps. Let's have real goals to rebuild, grow our relationship with Jesus in 2021. You know, the good news is that in our broken relationship with God, Jesus is the one who takes the first step, right? And it's not just that we have to make resolutions or try really hard, although those things are good, but God's goodness and his steadfast love, they come for us. They've pursued us, and they're with us forever. And this is what we celebrated at Christmas, right? That Jesus sought to be in a relationship with us by coming to us. But as we understand that, let us go to him. Let's seek to grow, to rebuild and renew our relationship with him. We live in a crazy and chaotic world, and this past year has been crazy and chaotic as well. There have been ups, there have been downs, but through all of that, let's remember that God is good and that his love for us endures forever. And so as we remember that, let's pursue him. Let's pray.